Bibles with me to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6 and 7. We were in the book of Genesis, and in it we saw that God created all things and He made them very good. And He made us in His image and we rebelled against Him. And yet even in Him dealing with our sin, we saw Him to be gracious. And outside of the garden, we multiplied and the sin grew. And the verdict was that every intention of man's heart was only evil all the time. So God brought a flood to cleanse the earth and He preserved Noah and his family in the ark. And then we began to spread again. And God raised up a man named Abram, who He would name Abraham, father of nations. And He named him that before he had any children with his wife Sarah. And He gave him a promise that the seed, the offspring that was promised to Eve, would come through him. And He promised him a land. And He gave him the sign of circumcision as they entered into a covenant together. And for three generations after Abraham, they lived in that land. But a famine arose and God provided for them by going to Egypt. But over time, they were enslaved. And for 400 years, they were there in Egypt. And then God raised up Moses to deliver them out. And after delivering them, after saving them, God gave them the law. And it is so important that we see that order of events. That we see that God saves people. He calls people. He redeems people. And then He shows them how to live. He doesn't come into Egypt and say, "Here's the law, obey it and I'll save you. Obey it and I'll redeem you." He redeems them. He saves them and then shows them how to live in the family like an adoptive father. He adopts the child and then tells them how to live in the new family. But that generation was more afraid of the Canaanites than of God. And so He let that generation die, wandering in the wilderness, and He raised up the next. And led by Joshua, they went back into the promised land and they began to conquer. And before they were done conquering the land, Joshua died, a righteous man. And the people went to their inheritance. And yet they began to worship the idols of the land. And they began to mix the religion of the Canaanites with the religion of Yahweh. And because God loved them, He brought up people to oppress them, to drive them back to Himself. And that's where we are this morning. That's the family story. That's our family history. So let us begin reading in Judges chapter 6. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel and no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, and they would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so they laid waste the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. When the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." Are you afraid? What do you fear? This may seem like a rough passage, but it is of great encouragement to those who know that they are in Christ. We know that when we pass through the waters, when we go through trials, when we go through suffering, sometimes that suffering has nothing to do with our specific sin. In the book of Job, that's made clear. Jesus with the blind man makes that clear. But sometimes we are in a mess that we have made. And it is a gracious and good thing that God pursues us in that and drives us back to Him. In Romans 1, one of the most terrifying forms of punishment is seen. And that is where God looks at a people who have chosen their sin over Him, and He lets them go and do it. For those who are in Christ, God will never do that to you. And we might feel the terrors of rough waters, but we know that because God is for us, He will not forsake us. And James would say, count it joy. And that doesn't mean we need to pretend that it's joyful to be oppressed, that it's joyful to go through hard trials. But we need to look at it through the lens that God is at work, and this is a good thing in Him. He does not leave us or forsake us, but He reproves us as a loving Father. But the story continues. Verse 11. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belongs to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out the wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all His wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do I not send you?" And he said to him, "Please, my Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, "But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man." And he said to him, "If now I've found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you and bring out my present and set it before you." And he said, "I'll stay till you return." So Gideon went into his house and prepared a young goat and 11 cakes from an ephah of flour. The meat he put in a basket and the broth he put in a pot, and brought them to him under the terebinth and presented them. The angel of the Lord said to him, "Take the meat and the 11 cakes and put them on this rock and pour the broth over them." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord reached out the tip of the staff that was in his hand, and he touched the meat and the 11 cakes, and the fire sprang from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes. And the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. Then Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. And Gideon said, "Alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace be to you. Do not fear. You shall not die." Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is peace." To this day, it still stands at Ophrah, which belongs to the Abiezrites. Are you afraid? Gideon was a fearful man. We see in verse 11 that he is hiding in a wine press beating out wheat. You don't have to know a ton of historical context to know that that's not the place you beat out and thresh wheat. He's hiding from the Midianites. And when God calls him, he immediately says, I'm the weakest. I'm the smallest. My clan's not big. Oh, but God calls him. And therein ought to be his confidence. When God says, let there be light, there's light. When Jesus called Lazarus from the grave and said, Lazarus, arise, Lazarus lived. When he says, you are my son, you are my daughter, for all those who are in Christ, that which was not becomes. Verse 12, when it says, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. It's not a sarcastic comment. It's not a jab at him because he's afraid. I have this sense that when Gideon hears that, he almost looks behind him. Are you talking to me? I'm hiding right now. But God calls him a mighty man of valor. When God calls us, when God redeems us, he really redeems us. When he calls us, we become that which we weren't. And that is wonderful news. We just read from 1 Peter chapter 2 where it says, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a treasured possession. You weren't a people. Now you're a people. In Christ, all these blessings are ours. This is how God works. He calls people and they become what he calls them. With Abraham, he called him Abraham. His name was Abram. He called him father of nations, though he had no children with Sarah. But we know the rest of the story. This is good news. And when he is giving all of his excuses, God is so gracious. And he says, verse 16, I will be with you. Jesus echoes this to us. I will be with you always to the end of the age. Our confidence is that he has called us. He has said, I am with you. Are you afraid? Do you fear sharing the gospel with a neighbor or a coworker? Are you afraid that the water will get too high and that you'll be overwhelmed? Are you afraid, like Gideon, that God is calling you to something that is beyond you? Be of good courage. The Lord who calls you brings it to be. And he says, I will be with you. But the story continues. Verse 25. That night, the Lord said to him, this is Gideon, take your father's bull, and the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that was beside it. We need to pause here. When we hear of the Baals and the Asherah and the Molech, we need to have a gut-wrenching reaction. These were idols where grotesque things were practiced. Grotesque intimacies where little children were sacrificed and burnt alive. We need to have that gut-wrenching reality. Let us continue. Cut down the Asherah that's beside it and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the stronghold here with stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering and the wood of the Asherah that you shall cut down. So Gideon took the 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. When the men of the town rose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was broken down and the Asherah beside it was cut down. And the second bull was offered on the altar that had been built. And they said to one another, who has done this thing? And after they had searched and inquired, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the town said to Joash, bring out your son that he may die, for he has broken down the altar of Baal and cut down the Asherah beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, will you contend for Baal or will you save him? Whoever contends for him shall be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him contend for himself, because his altar has been broken down. Therefore, on that day, Gideon was called Jerubbabel. That is to say, let Baal contend against him, because he broke down the altar. Now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and they crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet. And the Abiezrites were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers through all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they went up to meet them. Then Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I'm laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone and is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so, when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me test just once more with the fleece. Please let it be dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground there was dew. Are you afraid? Gideon is still afraid. God tells him to tear down the Baal and the Asherah, and it says, because he's afraid of his family, he does it at night. But he doesn't get away with it. Gideon is still fearful. He's been called. He has this desire to obey God and this fear of man. He feels this tension. It's as though he's being torn in two. He wants to obey, and then he's obeying at night, hiding. He knows that God has called him to strike down the Midianites, but he goes and he tests God. God says clearly in his law, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Jesus echoes this when Satan tells him to test God, and he says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Don't use the idea of putting out your fleece as this is honoring to the Lord. It's not. Testing God does not honor him. He has heard clearly from him. Gideon says so in verse 36. You have, as you have said. And Gideon, when he goes to test God with the fleece the second time, look at verse 39. Let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me test. Gideon is torn between the fear of God and the fear of man. He is trying to obey. And where is the good news? Is that your experience? Does God call you to do things and it's just easy now? Just stop sinning and do the right things. Or do you continually feel this tension of trying to walk by faith imperfectly? The encouragement here that God doesn't blast them off the face of the earth and create another. He doesn't reject those whom he's called. God is so patient with Gideon. And he is patient with us. And yes, his patience has limits, but this is a God who is coming low to a fearful man. Are you afraid? Do you feel the tension between trying to be obedient and fearing the world? God isn't scowling at you, but he continues to come low and encourage you and continues to try to woo you to himself so that you may have a proper confidence. And the story continues. chapter 7, verse 1. Then Jerubbabel, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped against the spring of Harod. And the camp of Midian was north of them by the hill Morah in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home. Hurry away from Mount Gilead.'" Then 22,000 of the people returned, and only 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I'll test them for you there. And any one of whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' shall go with you. And any one of whom I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' shall not go." So the Lord brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'With the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. Let all the others go, every man to his home.' So the people took provisions in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but remained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. The same night the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterwards your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp.' Then he," which is Gideon, "went down with Purah his servant to the outposts of the armed men who were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number, as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade, and he said, 'Behold, I dreamed a dream, and behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell. And it turned upside down so the tent lay flat.' And his comrade answered him, 'This is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp.' As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand.' And he divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets in the hands of all of them and empty jars with torches inside the jars. And he said to them, 'Look at me, do likewise. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then blow the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and shout, for the Lord and for Gideon.' So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, when they had just set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their left hands the torches and the right hands the trumpets to blow. And they cried out, 'A sword for the Lord and for Gideon.' Every man stood in his place around the camp. And all the army ran. They cried out and fled when they blew the 300 trumpets. The Lord set every man's sword against his comrade and against all the army. And the army fled as far as Beth Shittah towards Zerera, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tabath. And the men of Israel were called out from Naphtali and from Asher and from all Manasseh. And they pursued after Midian." Are you afraid? God has this beautiful pattern of choosing that which is foolish in the world's eyes to shame that which is proud, that which is weak to shame the strong. And that is people like us, people like you and like me. Gideon is afraid. And this fearful leader, God, who's just tested God, God says, I'm going to test them. You have too many people. So fearful leader, go to the army and say, if you're afraid, leave. As Gideon himself is afraid. He takes them to the water and God says, you still have too many. God is concerned with his own glory. He does not want us to boast in our own doing. He wants us to boast in him. Because when we go inward in pride and we boast in ourselves, therein is death and the root of all sorts of sin. There is freedom in life when we learn to boast in the Lord. And God is after his glory, using a fearful leader and 3% of the original force. Now, my view of verse 5 and following is a minority view in the commentaries. Many people will see this as the elite lifting water to their mouth, their eyes outward, a sword in their hand. The problem is the text doesn't mention their eyes, their awareness, or their sword. It says everyone who laps the water with his tongue. The emphasis is not on the eyes or awareness of the dog, but the tongue of a dog. Imagine being at Thanksgiving and one of the odd aunts or uncles comes over and to drink, they stick their mouth down in a cup of water and lap at it. This is an odd behavior. The commander has just sent away 2/3 of his army who's afraid. Then God says, hey, I'm going to tell you which ones to take. And every oddball who comes to the water to drink, God says, that one. Pick that one. And it's funny, but oh, is it encouraging. I mean, look at us. We're not the elite of the world. We're the oddballs. And God delights in his oddball band of misfit toys so that he gets the glory. And we get the joy of coming behind him in what he is doing. Gideon's still afraid. Look at verse 9. He tells him, go attack the camp. But if you're afraid, go down to the camp by yourself with your servant. Does he attack right away? He goes down. He's still afraid. He still has this tension. And God comes low to encourage those who are fearful. And he hears a prophecy and it's telling. And in verse 15, we see that his proper response when he finally gets it, the Lord is on my side. He worships. He worships. He finally has a proper confidence. And then he has the confidence to lead this band of oddities into the dark. In the Marine Corps, I was trained to do nighttime patrolling. There's two things that give you away. Light and sound. And God, through Gideon, has told them, take a trumpet in one hand and a torch with a fragile clay pot over it. And they're going to stumble through the dark and surround the camp. It seems like a foolish plan. This is a bad idea. But God chooses that which is foolish to shame the wise. The cross is foolishness to those who don't believe. But to those who are, Jesus on the cross, what a great hope we have. Are you afraid? You don't have to be. be of good courage. God will never leave you nor forsake you. For those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ, even when you stray into sin, the violence of grace will come after you and it will hurt. But we can count it joy. We can look at a God who says, "You are my son." And we know that we really are his son. We can wrestle with the tension of wanting to obey God and being afraid of the world. And God comes low and he is patient with us. We can look around at the state of the church in the world and wonder, how is it that God is going to do these marvelous things? He delights in doing marvelous things with people like us who still wrestle with fear. So be of good courage. Look at Jesus Christ. And in him, all the promises of God are yes and amen. And so let us respond the way Gideon responded, with worship. Let us pray. Father God, you are so good to us. You are so patient. You don't leave us or forsake us, though we deserve it all the time. You use that which is foolish to shame the wise. You are a mighty and good God. Please help us to take courage. That even if we don't feel gifted in evangelism, we can stumble through sharing the gospel, and that God delights in opening the eyes of the blind through imperfect testimony, so that all the glory is God's. So, Father, please help us this day, this week, to be of good courage. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.